of big band jazz, swing, show tunes, pop standards, and contemporary cabaret. That's Sunday nights at 9 for Everything Old is New Again with me, David Kenny, only at 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Bucket.
Good Bucket Matinee.
Yeah. This is Blues in the 90s.
It's Tom Mitchelson.
I want you to tune in for the Good Bucket Matinee.
Yeah.
And maybe we can all feel better. I'm guessing you did. I didn't even listen to blues or something. Something to make me feel better.
Well, you got to pull yourself together long enough to let them know when to tune in.
Hey, how about Saturdays?
What time?
3.
Uh-huh.
To 6.
Oh,
blue, all up in there.
Oh, good God.
3, 4, 5. Then we got Liquid Sound Lounge at 6.
Oh.
That's only on 99.5.
FM. Here in New York.
WBAI. Gut Bucket.
Matinee. The blues, man. If it don't kill you, it'll make you a mighty, mighty man.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York. The time is 9 a.m. This is Emmanuel Goldstein filling in for David Rothenberg on this, not just any Saturday, but the first day of the year 2000. We made it.
Sometimes I think my poor work are crazy. The way Christine would have gone jokey jokey. And the next time now, I know nonsense dance. The way she wind down the place last Christmas dance. The way she loved to talk about conspiracy. Me and Christine in the canteen talk about the death of black people in a custody. How not a shot make me young or a damn dark bar. How nobody high up in a society can offer explanation nor remedy. When Christine is up her brow like say a row, she a go row. Screw up her face like say a trace, she a go trace. Hear her now. You think that just MI5 and James Bond and police and soldier over North Island one. When it comes to black people, Winston, some police in England got license to kill. Well, nothing Christine said, surprise me still. But hear me now. What you mean, Christine? And who tell you that? I must be one idiot. You can't prove that. And who tell me to go say that? Christine kissed her teeth, then she cut me with her eye and she said, you want proof? You cannot kiss on my curving about him asphyxiation. And you cannot try garden about her suffocation. You cannot call him Roach if him really shoot himself. And you cannot Vincent Graham if he's him stab himself. But you can ask the commissioner about the license to give. Ask Sir Paul Condon about the license to give. You can ask the double of them about the new style baton. And you can ask Tony Hassan about him death by neglect. You can't ask Marlon Jones if him have any regrets. And you can't ask El Gamal about the mystery of him dead. But you can ask Dame Barbara about the license to kill. Ask the DPP about the license to kill. You can't ask Ibrahim about the CS jet attack. You can't ask Mrs. Jarrett how she get her heart attack. You can't ask Oliver Price about the grip round his neck. And you can't ask Steve Boyd about him death by neglect. But you can ask the PCA about the license to kill. Ask the ACPO about the license to kill. If you ask Maggie Thatcher about the license to kill. And you can ask John Major about the license to kill. If you ask Michael Howard about the license to kill. And you can ask Jack Straw about the rule of law. If you ask Tony Blair if he is aware or care about the license to kill that plenty police feel them bad. Sometimes I think my co-workers are crazy.
one jokey jokey. Then the next time now, I know nonsense stand. The way she wind down the place, last trip for stand. The way she love to talk about conspiracy. Maggie Thatcher about the license to kill, and you can ask John Major about the license to kill. And you can ask Michael Howard about the license to kill, and you can ask Jack Straw about the rule of law. You can ask Tony Blair if it is a wear or care about the license to kill that plenty police kill them guys.
That's Linton Kwesi Johnson off the new one, More Time. Here on radio station WBAI in New York, Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, filling in for David Rothenberg this Saturday morning. The first day of January, let's just get this clear right here and now. It's not the first day of the millennium, okay? Now, there's several things that really annoy me about this whole thing that's been going on over the past year. I've been keeping quiet about it for most of the time, but all right, enough is enough here. The first day of the millennium, first of all, it's not the first day of the new millennium, which would be 2001 is actually when it begins. Reason being, years began with the year one, not the year zero. Okay, that's easy enough to remember. But everybody's going around saying happy millennium. You know, it's like saying happy year, happy day, happy week. No. It's a new millennium if you accept the fact that it's really not the new millennium yet. That will happen next year. It was a nice New Year's celebration. Four digits changed. That's really what this boils down to, is four digits rolled over. Okay, cool. You know, I'm all for it. But let's call, you know, let's just keep the terms straight, all right? Not a new millennium. All right, just a new year. And boy, it was quite a new year, I'll say that. Quite a lot of things happened. Well, let's take a look at the way it was reported in the mainstream news, and then we'll have some personal opinions, and of course we'll be asking everybody out there, what happened? What happened to you? How did you suffer because of Y2K and various other things that maybe we can predict some more doom in the future. Basically, with a few minor glitches and heavy security, the eastern United States welcome the new millennium. This is actually a dated report from the web, because obviously the western part of the United States has also welcomed the new millennium, if you believe it was a new millennium by now. From New York Times Square to Newport, Kentucky. You know, I didn't even know there was a Newport, Kentucky. I thought that was up in New England somewhere. To Washington's hallowed monuments to Miami, and you get the idea, basically various cities. In the nation's capital, tens of thousands gathered to hear performances by entertainers and a speech by President Clinton, who prefaced a spectacular fireworks display that began at the stroke of midnight. The Washington celebration peaked with a white light of fireworks cascading up the side of the 555-foot Washington Monument. The White House had billed its finale to a day of millennium-related events, which is another stupid phrase, millennium-related events. What does that mean? They billed that as an unforgettable midnight moment. Well, Clinton would know about unforgettable midnight moments, wouldn't he? Yes, Clinton used the occasion to appeal to America's youth. America must stay young, Clinton said. Don't fear change, embrace it. The sun will always rise in America as long as each new generation lights the fire of freedom. Well, that's nonsense. It's going to rise no matter what. I don't know about that. The torch is passed to a new century of young Americans. Well, let's get back to New York. The three-hour, $12 million show competed for top billing in the United States with the customary celebration in New York's Times Square. The New Year's tradition was marked at midnight when a six-foot glowing crystal ball descended from a flagpole high atop the one Times Square building. Police said Times Square had been filled to capacity hours before midnight and no one else would be admitted. The peaceful crowd swelled northward up Broadway towards Central Park, nearly 20 blocks away. Authorities provided no official crowd count, but veteran observers said it easily exceeded 1 million. And as we all know, the weather was clear and rather warm. And there were all kinds of other celebrations, but I'm sure if you were watching TV, you probably would have seen them. As far as things that got kind of messed up, well, as the clock struck midnight across the United States, some Americans hoping to phone their loved ones with a New Year's message were instead greeted by an all-circuits-busy message. Yeah, phone companies experienced heavy calling traffic early Saturday as the date rolled over, enough to force some callers to dial more than once. Well, we told you it was going to be rough, folks, and it's been a nightmare for everybody. Some people had to dial more than once. Some carriers anticipated other peaks in calling, such as in the late morning. Oh, that's coming up real soon. When people would normally wake up and call family. Well, if you're waking up and turning on the radio before calling family, you might want to reconsider, because if you don't reconsider, you might have to dial again. And that could be really heartbreaking. The industry reported no failures related to the Y2K bug along their networks, and federal officials expected the volume of traffic to eventually trail off. Any congestion will drop off rapidly, said the nation's Y2K chief, John Koskinen, in an early morning briefing on Saturday. Bell Atlantic saw its call volume spike 6 to 8 times that of a normal evening in the first half hour right after midnight hit the East Coast. There were some minor blockages, said the group president of network services, Bell Atlantic. SBC Communications said call traffic after the rollover with one of its subsidiaries was 50% higher than on a normal Monday, the heaviest calling day of the week. Did you know that? Monday's the heaviest calling day of the week. There was even more traffic on the wireless systems in places such as New York City, and I can attest to this personally. People got a fast, busy signal instead of a dial tone right after the Y2K turnover. Sprint cellular callers in Miami had similar problems, and long-distance traffic surged after the East Coast midnight with the nation's number one carrier, AT&T, handling some 3 million calls in the first hour alone. It's higher than normal call volume for a New Year's Eve, said spokesman John Heath. So far, things have been running smoothly. Earlier Friday, some U.S. callers had to dial more than once to get through to other countries that had already begun the Millennium festivities. again with the Millennium festivities. Sprint said while long-distance calls along its lines did increase after midnight, they still only reached 65% of Sprint's network capacity. Some phone companies also positioned workers at 911 call centers to monitor incoming calls and see if the computer systems that were providing enhanced services, such as pinpointing where a person was calling from. I guess they left out the last part of that sentence, but I guess to see if the computer systems there were actually working. Okay. All the nation's 911 call centers have reported that they will be able to perform basic services like answering calls and dispatching emergency response teams. Major satellite providers reported no problems Friday with their ground-based facilities, which contain control and tracking systems set to midnight Greenwich Mean Time, or 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That was our biggest hurdle. We think we've come through with no problems, said Clay Morris of the Satellite Industry Association, which represents major commercial satellite providers. It was uneventful, said Ramu Portazu, Chief Information Officer for Intelsat, which owns and operates a global system of 17 satellites. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration also said all of its spacecraft and facilities were fully functional as the space agency passed the GMT milestone. We're green across the board, no problems at all, said Mark Hess, a spokesman for NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. Satellites don't rely on times or dates, and thus were not expected to be impacted by the rollover, but that didn't stop people from panicking anyway. Here's something interesting. A monitoring system failed at a Japanese nuclear power plant. That's going to make you a little bit nervous. A system that monitors radiation levels around the nuclear power plant in Japan was hit by problems shortly after midnight on January 1st, according to local media reports. The system measures radiation levels around Hakuriku Electric Power's Shiga nuclear power plant in Ishikawa and transmits the data to several monitoring stations in the region. Shortly after midnight, a monitoring station at the prefectural hall in Ishikawa stopped showing data from the system, according to the reports. Staff were dispatched to the plant but found radiation levels within the normal range. The cause of the problem and whether it was Y2K-related or not had yet to be determined, said the reports. And the problem was one of a few reported during the nighttime across Asia as country after country entered the new year with no other Y2K-related problems, or actually that wasn't necessarily one either. And let's see what else we have here as we look around the World Wide Web. Involving aviation, there were no Y2K aviation troubles reported. After years of analysis, countless software adjustments, and months of tests and retests, initial reports indicate the world aviation community has soared past potentially crippling Y2K-related problems. As the critical midnight hour arrived in time zone after time zone, and then 1:12 a.m. January 1st was logged at the Greenwich Observatory in London, air personnel reported nothing out of the ordinary, either aboard aircraft aloft or in air traffic control centers. Midnight GMT, also known as Universal Coordinated Time, or Zulu Time, was a critical moment for air travel because GMT is used as the basis for the world's air traffic control systems. Left uncorrected, the Y2K bug could cause computers to misinterpret 2000 as 1900 and malfunction or crash. While the New Year's Eve transition went smoothly, experts point out that Y2K-related computer problems could crop up in coming days or weeks. It is far too early to declare victory, said John Koskinen, the head of U.S. President Bill Clinton's Y2K task force. We have a lot of systems and a lot of countries to go through before we'll see what the actual impact has been of the transition. Captain Klaus Schraut of Germany's Lufthansa said from his airborne craft that he and his crew were encountering nothing unusual at 7:35 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 12:35 a.m. Greenwich Time. It's business as usual, really, well, over southern Algeria, on his airliner's scheduled flight from Frankfurt, Germany to Windhoek, Namibia. In fact, hours before United States FAA Administrator Jane Garvey would report to Clinton from a commercial airliner that U.S. airspace was without problems, similar reports would be logged by aviation officials in India, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, Japan, Taiwan, and China. The president of government-owned China Eastern Airlines piloted a commercial flight from Shanghai to Beijing, timing the run to have him airborne at 12 a.m. Saturday local time. No difficulties were reported with that flight. And that's pretty much it as far as things that were going on around the world with Y2K potentially related problems. As you can see, most of it just didn't take place. Well, we had a bit of an adventure of our own last night, a few of us here in the studio. Actually, a bunch of us did different things. If you tune into my regular program, which is on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Off the Hook, we've been talking about Y2K issues for quite some time now, I believe over a year at least. And one of the crazy things, one of the crazy promises I made was that I would go to Times Square on New Year's Eve. And the main reason I did that was because one of the other people on the program, namely Isaac, who happened to just come in, said that I would be crazy to do that, and that he would be as far away from Times Square as possible. And, well, Isaac, I decided to do it anyway. And I put my life at great personal risk just to, you know, just to prove you wrong.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the fact that you wanted to be in Times Square for the celebration.
Well, you know, I wanted to be there, but...
Okay. Well, it's glad to see that you're not a fine white ash.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing, all right? We were all there, you know, 2 million of us or so, and it was really very nice, very peaceful, very harmonious. Never felt more comfortable. And I think...
I would imagine it would have been loud, though.
It was fairly loud, but, you know, no louder than playing music in a loud room. You know, they had loudspeakers up on the sides of buildings, and they were playing all kinds of international tunes, which I thought was very impressive. Throughout the course of the entire day, there were all kinds of celebrations every hour on the hour, sometimes on the half hour, too, because some countries have half-hour differences instead of hour differences. And it was just... very nicely done. Well, you had a real feeling that this was an international event, that it wasn't just an American event. It was things happening all over the world. And you just saw celebration after celebration. And I think what we also saw was what mankind is really all about, which is peaceful coexistence. I mean, that's kind of the default setting. Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot of the time. But I think that people are generally... you know, pretty nice towards each other, pretty harmonious and peaceful. And of course, we have to stir things up occasionally and make people panic and make people think that all these horrible things are going to happen. And that way, when they don't happen, we say, okay, we defeated the evil people. But you know, I thought the interesting thing about this whole terrorism scare was that what was the actual scare? What was the actual threat? It was all theoretical. We were all saying, hey, this is going. They could do this. They could, you know, drive some kind of, you know, car bomb into the middle of Times Square at the stroke of 12 midnight, and boy, that would really be bad if they did that, or they could drop a nuclear weapon on in the middle of the city. And, you know, none of this happened because I don't think anybody really wanted to do that in the first place. I don't know. I just had a lot of trouble following the train of thought that led us there. And, of course, now that we've gotten over the point where nothing has happened, we can proclaim victory against the terrorists who don't seem to exist as far as this particular threat went. You know, it was kind of interesting to watch all that.
Well, but they existed, and the theory of
terrorists exist, okay? But yes. did they exist in this case?
Well, they arrested four people down in Brooklyn.
Does that mean anything, though? I mean, we deal with computer hackers all the time.
Correct.
We see people getting arrested and being accused of all kinds of phenomenal crimes that really have no basis in reality. Some kid goes out and changes the name of a file on the White House website, and all of a sudden he's responsible for national security issues and you know, $250,000 in damage and all kinds of downtime, when we know full well that all it was renaming a file and it takes 5 seconds to fix. So, you know, knowing that, I have to have a big shred of doubt here as to just what exactly the connection was with these people in Brooklyn. Obviously, I don't have all the facts. Obviously, there's a lot still that needs to be told. But I think we should keep a very watchful eye on the whole situation to see just what it was these people are being accused of.
Granted.
I mean, are we talking about Algerians who are trying to use fake passports to get into the United States, or are we talking about people with a very detailed plan as to what it is they're going to do once they get here? You know, I think we should make sure that we hear the details and not just brush it away and say, oh, yeah, terrorists, don't want to hear anything more about them. Because, you know, it's funny, a lot of people are saying the same thing about computer hackers these days. I hear computer hackers, okay, whatever they did, just lock them away, don't want to hear anything more about them.
Well, I'm not saying lock them away, but there was definitely a potential for some kind of event to take place at Times Square.
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing. There's potential every day, every minute for something to happen.
Yes, but the fact that it was such an event caused... what's the word I'm looking for? Multiplied the potentiality of something bad happening. The former FBI director said, I wouldn't want to be in Times Square for Y2K.
Well, maybe he had better plans. Maybe he has something else to do. He never elaborated on the statement.
Well, chose a specific quote out of it.
The whole theory behind terrorism is to strike without warning, when people aren't expecting it. So
it's not.
Everybody...
No.
You tell us what the point of terrorism is.
The point of terrorism is to gain as much attention as possible. The idea is to be able to make your thoughts known and to express your views when other means are, at least in their mind, exhausted.
Yes, but you see, that works in movies. But if you look in real life, you see that they don't actually strike at the most populated areas, the most populated time. They don't hit the Super Bowl. They don't hit
because
the
there's
World
security Cup. Involved.
Now, look. I was in Times Square last night.
Okay.
It was easy to plant anything you wanted to plant any place. I mean, you know what they said? They were taking away garbage cans to prevent all kinds of bombs. You know what they did? They put plastic bags over the garbage cans.
Okay, well,
and they put signs on them saying, do not put trash here. That was the protection right there.
Well, they were probably taking a hint from London when they remove all the rubbish.
Well, in any event, the point is, you know, if a terrorist wants to strike, he will strike.
He will strike.
And it doesn't matter if it's New Year's Eve, the Super Bowl, or just a regular day. The fact of the matter is, we don't see... I'm not trying to belittle terrorism at all, but we see so little of this, and we have so much fear about it, that it controls our lives. And by controlling our lives, we become controlled by the authorities. We are willing to give away bits of our privacy, bits of our freedom, because it's all in the interest of protecting us. Now, my point here is that what was it protecting us from? We got all scared. We thought something horrible was going to happen. And was there even a credible threat?
Yes.
Well, I want to see the evidence. So far, the evidence hasn't been presented.
There was a definite potentiality.
Yeah, of course, there's always the potential, but that's not
right.
The same thing as
but
a specific
threat. But it was heightened
threat.
Above, like, you know, yesterday or tomorrow. The fact that there were 2 million people in one very small area, the eyes of the world were looking at this one point. It would, you know, some kind of a show outside of the ABC Disney involved, you know, handing out of the balloons and Mylar wigs and things. Did you get those, by the way?
Yes, I got everything.
You got everything?
Yeah, I got everything.
Okay, good. You got to lock that up in a little cooler and bury it
or
something.
It's pretty amazing.
But the point is that it would be a draw to anyone potentially doing any number of things in order to get attention.
Well, no, I obviously, but I'm just saying, was there a credible threat? And by credible threat, I mean somebody specifically saying, hey, we're going to go over there and we're going to blow this place
up. If there was, you wouldn't be sitting across from me.
Okay, so all I'm saying is, were we just acting on theoretical scenarios, or did we have something specific?
Well, what would you suggest we act on? Just completely ignore mountains of history and evidence of...
are we going to take these kind of precautions every time there's a large number of people? Because they're
Ask
extraordinary.
Ask the Secret Service what kind of precautions they take when the president rolls down the BQE. It's very similar, and it's because they are looking to protect these individuals.
Right. Well, I think as we've learned over the years, the Secret Service is not exactly having their foot planted in reality as far as what's security and what is not security.
Yes, but we've only lost a few presidents.
Yeah, well... Anyway, we have a couple of other people with us here. We have Walter and we have Mackie from California. Say hi, folks.
Hello.
Hi, yeah.
Mackie is our webmaster, actually. If you look at the 2600 website at any time, you're probably looking at some of his work, or most of his work. And, well, last night, the three of us, Isaac, where were you last night? Because you swore you'd be as far away from possible as New York. And the fact that you're here now tells me you couldn't have been that far away.
Well, as was discussed This past Tuesday, I was originally planning on being in Albuquerque for some of their New Year's celebrations, and I was going to be in Socorro, New Mexico this morning when I'd arrived about 10 minutes ago off of the highway. But instead, I then changed my plans to heading upstate and spending it in Taconic State Park. And due to some transportation issues, I eventually found myself out on Long Island.
You were out on Long Island.
Where I really did not want to be.
So wait a minute. At the stroke of midnight, you were right in the New York metropolitan area.
No, I was on Long Island.
That's the New York metropolitan area. It's considered that.
Well, I was on Long Island.
You're in the same ladder as the rest of us.
Well, I was in a different area code. In fact, I passed through two new area codes
okay.
to get there.
Well, we're not going to talk about area codes today. We can do that on Tuesday. But the three of us, Walter Mackey and I, had quite an adventure. And this is living proof of how the security precautions we saw last night really were just a lot of smoke and mirrors because we were able to get right into, and I'm not joking when I say this, the front row in front of everybody else in the whole damn place, all 1, 2 million, however many people were there. We were just able to social engineer our way into the very front and be in places that we were not supposed to be. And it was really pretty cool.
That happens all the time.
Shall we tell our secrets here? One of the things we did was we tried to get a hotel room in the area. We figured, you know, why not do this in comfort? If we're going to be in Times Square, why not, you know, have a place to stay? But, you know, come on, the day before New Year's Eve, not, in the year 2000, you know, it's going to be really, really hard to find a place. You know, there were so many places, because of the terrorist scare, there were so many cancellations that we were able to get a room just like that. And the Marriott is, you know, the one with the elevators. That's the one that everybody seemed to want to get rooms at because
the
it was...
The one with the
you know, the glass elevators
okay.
that go up and down.
I think what Marriott doesn't have elevators?
Yeah, well, some of them don't. But they were willing to let us in on Thursday night, but they said if you want to stay Friday night, you have to take our 3-day package and pay $2,000. I didn't realize until afterward that it was a play on the year, you know, 2000.
Yeah.
So if you stayed one night, you paid something on the order of $200 or even less, I think.
Right.
If you wanted to stay two nights, though, you had to stay three nights and pay a real work of art, these people. So we decided, okay, we're just going to spend the one night, but since after midnight of that night, they started imposing these really, really strict controls in the area, you needed to get a special gold card. You know, you have these little room keys. Well, you had to get a special Millennium Gold one. And that would allow, it would open your room, but it would also allow you to get into the area in case the police were closing streets. And that's, you know, that's when the light bulb clicked. If we just don't give that back the next day, then we still have that. And it's very unlikely they're going to be out there with a card reader saying, hey, is this card still valid? No, they're just going to look at the front of it and say, oh, okay, this person's supposed to be here. Well, we went uptown last night at about 7:30 or so, and the streets were all being closed. 42nd Street was completely closed.
Oh, yeah.
And we just walked up to some cops at, I believe it was 8th Avenue and 42nd Street, and said, hey, we're trying to get back to our hotel. Here's the card. They let us through. They just let us on. And 42nd Street was completely empty. No cars, no people. We were walking right down 42nd Street. It was great. Of course, we got stopped by cops about four more times,
yeah.
Wanting to know just what we were doing there. And every time we showed them the card, they just let us go right by. It was great. And so then we turned up right around the Times Square area, and we saw this section where nobody was, really. It was basically all the people came up to a certain point, and then right in front of that, there was a smaller little pen. And there was virtually nobody there, you know, a few people, mostly people in wheelchairs. So we figured that was the handicapped area, and also the...
Was it marked in blue with the...
No, there was nothing like that, but it was very sparsely populated. But there were all kinds of people just kind of milling around, and there was nobody watching the entrance. So, you know, we just sort of ambled on in, and as the hours went by, it got more and more crowded, and we later found out that was the volunteer section
And also, it was a place for handicapped people, and it was also the place for families of the cops. They kept coming in in droves.
Apparently, unofficially, probably.
Unofficially, yeah.
Letting people in.
But it was great. Everybody was posing with the cops, you know, for pictures and things like that. But it got more and more full as the hours went by. And by that time, nobody could question anybody, you know, and they had completely closed it off by then. But we got right into the front, and we could have walked around in all different places, I'm sure, if we had really tried. I had a great time, and I'm glad everybody else did, too. I heard nothing but good things all around the world. Yeah. Everyone seems to have welcomed in the new year. So what we'd like to do now is hear from people who are just waking up now to hear of the decimation of the planet Earth. Due to all the Y2K bugs out there. That's another thing, Isaac.
Yeah.
You know, all the Y2K predictions of doom here. I believe I went on record many months ago.
Hold on.
Saying that there was not going to be any kind of significant problem. And, hey, look at this. It's January 1st, 2000.
Yeah, all
and
right.
Nothing,
here's your $5.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I don't know if I bet money. I don't think I bet money. But
I'm joking.
No elevator's broken. All right. No.
Well, they were turned
off.
Electricity. They were turned off 20 minutes before midnight and turned on 10 minutes after.
Yeah, like that really didn't. Oh, you know, and by the way, when we got into the Marriott, you know, they gave us a little flashlight.
That's nice.
They gave us a little flashlight.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And those flyers, do we have those with us?
You have them, I think, so you might want to search for those. Yeah, we got these little flyers that they handed out at the front desk telling us not to worry. Everything was under control. There might be some Y2K issues, but, hey, everything's going to be fine.
Right.
But
it's all precaution, you know. You're preparing for something.
It's all smoke and mirrors, and you know it's
all smoke and mirrors because if something were to happen and you had your little flashlight, you would be thankful for your little flashlight. And what did it cost anyone? It maybe cost them $1 a piece. How many rooms do they have? $600.
Yeah, well, they certainly charged it back to the people. I'll tell you that.
Well, fine, but
I paid for that flashlight.
Fine.
Yeah,
but it's a matter of being prepared. And if nothing happens, hey, you have an extra flashlight, you have a little memento, and 60 years from now you can tell your grandkids,
I was at the Marriott and they gave us flashlights.
Wait a minute, we were supposed to keep those. We didn't keep the flashlight.
The flashlight?
No, we figured that would be stealing if we took the flashlight.
Oh, come on.
It's like taking a lamp, you know, it was sitting there. No, we didn't take the flashlight, of course not.
Oh, all right. Well,
no, we really didn't take the flashlight.
You should have.
I feel like an idiot now, yeah, I should have.
Well, you said you paid for it, so why didn't you take it?
Well, of course I paid for it. I pay for everything, you know, and doesn't mean I take it. You know, but anyway.
Wait a second, you pay for something and you don't take it?
Well, yeah, like for instance, I pay for the paving of the streets and I don't take the tar off the streets.
No, but
you know?
Use them at least.
Well, yeah, but that's not the same thing. I used the flashlight, I turned it on and shone it around the room and got bored and put it down.
Yeah,
you know, so that was the end of that.
You could have sold it on eBay for $400 bucks or something. The Millennium Flashlight.
Well, it wasn't a commemorative flashlight. Other places, I believe, had logos and things said Y2K on them.
There you go.
These particular flashlights did not have any such markings.
No, they just said Marriott Hotel on them.
Well, they said Marriott Hotel on them.
Yeah.
They're yellow, too.
I guess they have flashlights for...
You could have written up a little certificate of authenticity.
Well, in any event, have we noticed anything else weird happening in New York? I mean, there were all kinds of
anything weird happening in New York?
The security measures were really... bizarre, kind of haphazardly applied.
Mm-hmm.
We had heard on the news prior, in advance, that all garbage cans would be removed.
Right.
And so inside the subway, we saw the ones, as you mentioned, with the plastic bags on
right.
top of them. Well, in Times Square, they were replaced by disposable cardboard
mm-hmm.
trash cans, which...
Yeah.
Where just as...
Completely defeat the purposes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we'd also heard that the manhole covers would be welded over. And
I couldn't really understand the logic behind that either.
Yeah,
are they trying to keep people in or keep people out?
The only thing that could really be for, as I concluded, would probably be blocking off escape routes. If you had just done something bad, if you had an accomplice, maybe lift up the manhole cover for you to make a quick escape.
Yeah,
well, they're not that easy.
There is a little bit of bead weld on some of them, but there didn't seem to be a lot of logic between which ones had been welded shut and which ones hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
There just some were, some weren't. And they also had, right by the Marriott, behind police barricades, were a row of about 10 porta-potties.
And that's something I noticed right away, the porta potty. I mean, that is the obvious weak link right there. You leave a bunch of porta potties out on a street corner, And, I mean, who's going to want to inspect inside there, you know, especially deep down? That's a perfect place to, you know, put something really, really bad.
Just
I'll put it in my terrorism notebook.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, a lot of the security measures were meant to make us feel better, but I don't think they really accomplished all that much because I don't think there was a threat to begin with.
There was a threat.
There was a threat in our minds. Again, you know, I don't think there was a significant threat from any entity. But again, if I'm wrong...
Any specific entity?
Yeah, of course. That's what I mean by...
Well, if there was, they probably would have acted, and they would probably have been taken care of because the security measures were in place. But, well...
The thing is, these...
We can argue this until we're blue in the face.
These things don't happen as a rule. We shouldn't... force ourselves into thinking that we're constantly in danger because then we'll be living our lives in fear all the time, and that's no way to live. At least I don't think so.
Would you prefer Nerf World?
Well, no, that's not what I want either. Give us a call, 212-209-2900. We're on the air for another hour and 20 minutes talking about the brand new... I don't want to say brand new millennium. I really don't want to say
century.
That.
No, U.S.
Not a brand new century.
U.S. Naval Observatory
gave
assigned a designation to this year. It's supposed to be the millennial.
What in the world does that mean?
The millennial year.
Oh, okay.
It's just something that, you know, all the millennium people can grasp onto.
My prediction is that next New Year's Eve, they'll be saying, this is the real millennium.
Yeah, we got to outdo ourselves.
Yeah, they're going to do it all over again.
Of course. We knew it all along.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Good evening. You're on the air.
Morning.
Or good morning. I'm sorry. We usually do an evening show. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine when I hear my family talking. I wanted to say that I got ABC's first touchdown in the Pacific Ocean country, of course, was ignorant about, but nevertheless, it was a concentration of our pigmented cousins.
This was at 5 a.m. on Friday?
Yeah. Or something.
I saw it, too.
And did you?
Yeah.
Wasn't it pure Hollywood?
Well, yeah, I think most of it was pure Hollywood everywhere you look.
That was pure Hollywood. All the other stations that were devoid of color, you didn't see the usual dance and cutting up stuff and so forth. Okay, cousins, we're together the rest of the year.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sweetie.
212-209-2900. Good morning. See, I told you the phones would be there for us, and now they're calling us. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, hello.
How are you?
Hi. I'm surprised to hear that some people who are involved in computer hacking and what you guys call social engineering and I would call playing a con were played by this this terrorism frenzy. I mean, it was so obvious that they were trying to play people.
Mm-hmm.
And like I guess one of you guys said, the whole thing behind this, the whole thrust behind this is that people are like driven to a frenzy and they're scared into giving up their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same as kind of the drug frenzy, which, you know, there actually is, you know, some basis to the drug problem. But, you know, that problem is magnified many times to cloud people's minds over and make them agree to things that otherwise they would never agree to.
Right.
And this whole terrorism thing around Y2K was a total con. I mean, it's so obvious.
I agree with you, and I think that this morning, as we all wake up, we're saying to ourselves, "We won. We defeated the terrorists. Isn't America great?" And we didn't do anything. There was no terrorist threat to worry about.
Yes.
That's how I feel because I don't see any evidence of one.
And watch the laws and the police activity and everything that's going to come down and say, and now to ensure in the future we defeat the terrorist threat, we'll take these measures, and it'll be measures that are taking away your rights. So watch for it.
That's what we have to watch out for.
Hey, take it easy.
Thanks for calling. You know, I never in my life saw so many cops as I did for the last day or so. I mean, entire subway stations with nobody but cops in them, entire blocks. I mean, you know, I didn't see any of them misbehaving. I thought they were all pretty nice.
Taking pictures. And their FunSaver cameras.
Yeah, everything seemed pretty cool and happy. But, boy, it was a show of force like nothing I ever saw before in my life.
That was the intent.
Yeah, well, I mean, think of it in more than one perspective. Think of it in more than one way as, you know, just protecting us from these evil terrorists, you know. Think of it as a stepping stone towards being used to that kind of thing.
No, it's not supposed to be about that. But, yes, we have to be cautious of just that eventuality.
Well, I think it needs to be emphasized that I don't think they didn't really protect against anything. Anyone could have gotten into that area and done anything they wanted. I think the cops were there to contain the crowd and clean up afterwards if anything did happen.
Well, I don't think they clean up. That's the sanitation department.
Yeah, those guys deserve a round of applause because they do really well every year.
The sanitation department.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They parked these big orange trucks on every single street filled with sand. That's to prevent the truck bombs from coming through. I mean, it's really something that they actually are thinking along these lines, that truck bombs are going to plow through and set themselves off.
They're all preventative measures.
But how many times has something like that happened in this country? How many times?
Don't use that as an excuse.
How many times
does it happen around the world? New York is not immediately immune from terrorism simply because we're New York.
That's true, but I'm saying, you know, it has not happened. We don't have...
It hasn't happened because we've taken these precautions and we've...
See, that's the mistake. I don't think it hasn't happened because we've taken these precautions. As I've said, these kind of things could happen at any point. We could have stuck bombs in Bell Atlantic payphones and the whole thing could have blown up and that would have been a horrible thing.
Yes.
They didn't take away those things. Anybody can do these things. It could happen at any time. The fact that it does not happen is not because we take these great precautions and have millions of cops out on the street. It's because these things tend not to happen. They're very rare.
They're very rare?
Yeah, they're very rare.
I'd like you to mention that to somebody from Jerusalem or perhaps Northern Ireland or one of the people who was on the plane over in, where was it, Pakistan?
Well, they were... I am talking about in this country, so these things are pretty rare in this country.
Because we look out for them.
The government was using some of the same arguments, some of the same logic in addressing hackers in the... previous week, saying, we expect there to be lots of hackers attacking servers, and they were just kind of, they'll be attacking internet sites, and very vague on the specifics, and the only specifics that did come out of it was that they were thinking about websites. So some Department of Defense were taking down their web servers over the holiday.
And by the same token, they will be saying that they were victorious against the hackers.
Exactly, and it's the same thing they're doing with the terrorists. Oh, well, we stopped the terrorists. Well, they didn't really establish that there was a threat from hackers. If they were just thinking about web page hacks, which are, by and large, pretty relatively harmless compared to blowing things up, there's better odds that you would have more web page hacks on, say, Christmas, when there's a bunch of teenagers home really bored and nothing better to do, than on New Year's, where they're all out partying and having a good time.
There was this paranoia propaganda also about hackers planning to get together and attack all the websites and bring things down on New Year's Eve.
And being responsible for Y2K... The whole problem.
Yeah, almost as if it's our fault that Y2K happened in the first place.
Or explicitly saying that. I know we've gotten lots of email from people thinking hackers, by and large, were solely responsible for the Y2K bug, like it's some sort of virus, or which wouldn't even fall underneath the category of a hacker anyway.
Let's go back to the phones. Good evening. Yeah, I keep doing this. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I constantly get a little annoyed when I hear people bandy about things to the effect that, these things are not rare. And when you say that, I'd really like you to back that up. I'd refer you to a reference source by, I think the author's name is Glassner, called Culture of Fear. And in this book, and it's nonfiction, it's not paranoia or anything like this. This is, documented statistics in which the author uses actual information from government and other sources. He talks about the actual statistical probability of things like airplane crashes and other, as Emmanuel says, unlikely and very improbable occurrences. And for someone to say, well, look at Israel, or look at some other country and use that as an example here is really not appropriate, number one. Number two, I asked a question, and I'd really like somebody to address this. What is it that is being done in this country's name that they're assuming so many people are angry at us that they want to come here and do something.
Well, I can think of quite a few reasons myself.
No, I mean, that's certainly a sarcastic and rhetorical type of an inquiry. But, you know, to say that, well, these things are likely and probable is just not true on any count. It just isn't.
Well, all right. For a normal day, I would agree with you. These are rare events. They shouldn't be worried about. But for an event like the New Year's Eve in Times Square, when you have the eyes of the world pointed at this one particular area, it ups the ante.
Okay, but I mean, you guys are pretty bright, you know, and the audience is pretty bright. Let's look at this mathematically. Look at all the places in the world where these events are happening. Okay. Different times, different places, millions of people, okay? And you're going to single out, you know, this spot, this spot, this spot. Yes, I mean, it's within the realm of probability, but from just a statistical point of view, you know, I mean, we're talking about lottery here. We're talking about lottery odds. And I'm not saying that these things should be dismissed, but I think that the argument that the city is using, that, oh, okay, these things are likely to happen, and they're admitting that they're not likely to happen.
Well, it's not a matter
that admitting that they're not likely to happen.
It's not a matter that they're likely to happen, but there is a very big potential, and with the number of people there, there is a fairly large threat. If you have everybody shooting,
wait a minute. We agreed that there wasn't a large threat. No one in fact said that there was any threat.
All right. Well, if you want to play math games, I mean, we can take the entire surface area of the Earth and divide out the number, you know, the poundage of potential bomb explosions of the entire planet, and you know, you divide it out, and you have 1 cubic centimeter per, you know, square mile or square 10 kilometers.
Hector, whatever.
Regardless, there are definite hot spots where people would be watching. I mean, if you were to set off a firecracker in the middle of the Yucatan and the densest rainforest, it's not going to make much of a difference. But if you're trying to make a point, you're going to go to some place that people are watching. For instance, Sydney, London, New York, Washington, one of these capitals. And just to brush it off and say that, well, you know, it's not going to happen because cumulative explosive amount allotment for that particular area, which is only, say, 20 miles large, is why only, 10 grams worth of plastic.
But do you think the reason nothing happened in any of these cities, any place, is simply because of the police presence there?
No, I don't.
No, I certainly don't believe that.
I don't believe that at all. But the precautions was responsible, in my view.
Okay, but the question, I think, is not whether or not to take the precautions, but were the precautions proportionate to the risk? And that's really
the
question.
That's another story.
Okay, well, but there's a question.
Honestly, I am not a proper analyst for this kind of.
You also weren't
okay,
in
no,
the
I
city.
Mean, we're not, I'm not trying to put him on.
You also weren't in New York City during all this, so you didn't actually see all the police. I'd like to hear from people who were in the city who might be able to tell us some more things that maybe we missed that happened.
Well, I'd like to end on this. We have all of these precautions now that have been set up. For instance, those cameras in Times Square. The resolution on those things is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you guys about the technical abilities of those cameras. What happens to them now?
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Are those cameras coming down?
They ought to.
Well,
if we take security measures for individual events like these, I have absolutely no problem. But to use it as an excuse to, you know, shoehorn in all of these, you know, round-the-clock security and surveillance devices, no way.
But you know that's what happens.
I do not support that.
Like in London right now.
I mean, the voice of doing all those cameras are going to be up there, and they're going to be, I mean, you won't be able to take a step to go to Modell's before somebody.
And they've already proven their value. They saved 2 million lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the kind of thing that we can't accept as an excuse to leave it up there.
Okay, well, let's keep an eye on those cameras and see just what the situation is. Thanks, thanks for the call.
Okay, happy New Year, guys.
And, you know, I was thinking, to the extent that the purpose of an act of terrorism is to instill terror in the masses...
Mm-hmm. Not to instill terror.
How do you know what terrorists stand for so well?
It's not to instill terror.
I think that would definitely
attention.
Be...
Get the terrorist handbook. We'll look this up.
That would definitely be one of the goals. If the people are living in constant fear, that does a great deal to undermine...
This is where I think that...
I think to that end, the government was, the U.S. government was responsible for most of the terror. Going in yesterday evening, I had a great deal of anticipation for, what was going to happen, but a little bit of fear, because I was, I read the reports, my family was concerned, and I was wondering, is something going to blow up? Is there going to be a stampede? But once we actually got there, and I looked around, I really realized, it's not all that different than any other time security-wise. If anything, the welding of manholes and the security, and I use that term loosely, was really a false sense of security. And we might have been better off if they're just a little bit more honest with, it could happen, but...
I think it's true to say that it was mostly crowd control. And I had some problems with the way the crowd was controlled as far as being funneled down narrow streets and things like that. I think that caused a few more problems than it should have. But I also think that the role of terrorists to cause terror, to make people afraid, and I do think that's a major part of it, if it's not the only part of it, I think it coincides with the role of many governments to make people afraid so that they will listen and do what they're told.
We don't have communists anymore to be afraid of.
All right, let's take some more phone calls.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, they,
those dang reds, I got to get rid of
212-209-2900. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Hello.
Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. You know, I was listening to the news this morning, one of the stations saying, Giuliani is thanking American people and the tourists for behaving themselves. I thought that's just an insult to my intelligence.
Yes.
And I thought if it was any intelligent in the people, they would have boycotted the Giuliani party.
Well, now let's not give him credit for the party. Okay, it wasn't his party. It was the party for 2 million people in the middle of New York City, and I think they proved exactly what kind of people they are in the first place.
I agree. There was absolutely nothing happened, and I didn't expect anything to happen. And for the person with you who said that, gave an example for Ireland and Israel because they have more bombs. They are in civil war.
Yes.
So, it's like really, we buy into this to say that, because they've been prepared, that's why that didn't happen. I just like to ask them how many did they caught, if they've been prepared, if they have cops all over and trucks and all these things, how many did they catch?
Well, the FBI picked up four people down in Brooklyn.
Excuse me, I mean, how do you know that even they had these things? I mean, when they talk about, they catch this and they catch that, we don't even know if that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't heard in much detail as far as these things go, and I really think we should press to hear what exactly these people were allegedly planning and what evidence there was.
Again, I'd like to say this for the people, for the listener, that the media is really not on the people's side, is not on the true information side. The media, the money, the corporation works together, so everything we hear, it's not necessarily true. I'd like to think like that. I'd like to doubt every TV news. Anyway, have a happy and stay alert, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I think that's something that we all should do is definitely stay alert.
The best kind of listeners, one who questions everything that is said to them.
Right.
And says, well, prove it to me. Mm-hmm. Or not necessarily prove it to me because this is a broadcast media and
you can
yell
at
your television all day long and they're not going to reply. But
you can't do that with a cop, though, when the cop's questioning you in the street, like what's happened to me about 50 times yesterday. Oh, then they say, you go over there. You can't really say, well, why should I go over there? You have to kind of just go over there.
Yeah,
but you end up kind of in bad shape if you do.
Yes,
it was very frustrating, I must say, navigating some of those barricades in a, I guess it's warm for you guys, cold for me.
Uh-huh. And Mackie's from California. In fact, this is his first trip to New York, and quite a day you picked to come out. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Manuel Goldstein and friends filling in for David Rothenberger. We'll be back next week. We're talking about the brand new year of 2000. Not a new millennium, but a brand new year with a really cool number. And all the Y2K things that didn't happen, all the terrorist things that didn't happen, who knows? Maybe something will happen, but we'll just have to stay tuned and find out. We'll be taking more phone calls in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Back in 1899, when everybody sang Auld Lang Syne, 100 years took a long, long time for every boy and girl. Now there's only one thing that I'd like to know. Where did the 20th century go? I swear it was here just a minute ago, all over this world. And now the 20th century is almost over, almost over, almost over. The 20th century is almost over, all over this world. I read all about it in True Confession. I'm sorry I was late for the recording session, but somebody put me on hold. Has anybody seen my linoleum floors? Petroleum jelly and two world wars. They got stuck in the revolving doors all over this world. Colder, summer's getting hotter, wishing wells, wishing for another drop of water, and Mother Earth's blushing cause somebody caught her making love to the man in the moon. Tell me how you gonna keep them down on the farm, now that outer space has lost its charm. Somebody set off the burglar alarm, and not a moment too soon, because the 20th century is almost over, almost over, almost over. The 20th century is almost over, all over this world, all over this world, all over this world. Now the 20th century is almost over. Tapping, standing in the window, grumbling and a rapping. Everybody's waiting for something to happen. Tell me if it happens to you. The judgment day is getting nearer. There it is in the rear view mirror. If you duck down, I could see a little clearer all over this world.
Almost over, almost over, almost over. The 20th century is almost over, almost over, almost over.
know, probably the thing I like best about that song is that it's true now. The first day of 2000, the 20th century is almost over, but it's not over yet. We're in the last year of it. That song comes to us from Steve Goodman from an album back in 1977. You know, Pete Seeger was playing on that as well, and a bunch of other people. An album called Say It in Private, one of my favorite songs back when it came out, and today and probably well into the future. We're talking about the dawn of the year 2000, which took place, well, just about 10 hours ago.
Here.
Right here in New York, yeah. Well, it's I guess it's taking place everywhere by now, right? The whole planet is now 2000. Okay, and I have not heard any major disruptions from Y2K. I haven't checked my computer yet, so I don't know if anything weird's going on with that.
Checked your computer?
Well, how could I check my computer? I'm wandering around the streets of New York, you
know. You didn't go home?
Well, no, of course not. I've been up. In case I sound a little out of it, I've been up since yesterday morning.
Well, I took an express Long Island Railroad train here, so.
Really? Yeah, you ran in all out of breath, like 30 seconds before we went on the air.
Well, it happens.
But. Yeah. But we haven't been to sleep for a while. You can't sleep. People just wandering around the streets of New York, great carnival atmosphere. It's what New York is really all about. Getting together, hugging total strangers, saying Happy New Year, just walking down the street. That's what it's all about. That's the true spirit of humanity. That's what I mean when I say people are inherently good.
Most of them are not belligerent.
Yeah.
That was a plot.
I mean, we're New Yorkers, and we have this you know, this reputation for being rude and nasty and horrible people.
Come on.
And we're not. It's just, you know, it's an exterior thing that we do to, you know, so that we don't have to be as friendly as other people who are really hiding their true natures.
But if you're interested in coming into New York and having somebody be rude and nasty to you, you just come up to me and, you know, I can do that kind of thing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Or talk to a cop.
Well,
yeah, that's
actually
some of them we met there were a little bit gruff, I must say.
They're on overtime. They're working three shifts. I was talking to a guy last night who was coming back on the train,
mm-hmm.
and he's working three shifts.
What does that mean?
He got
working
2 hours
three
worth of shift, worth of sleep.
He got 2 hours worth. Now, how good a cop can he be?
Not a very good cop.
2 hours.
Not a very good cop. But when, you know, the people of New York. When you are called mm-hmm. in to do this kind of overtime, I mean, you can turn it down or you can take it.
No, I think everybody has to take it. That's how it was explained to me.
So
every single cop had to be on duty
night. That's your answer.
And they had a lot of cops working double shifts without, things are often very unfair for them. I know that. And to work with, you know, an hour or two of sleep. I mean, you know, I've had no sleep, but I'm not holding a gun here at the station, you know.
Well.
And, you know, I don't hold life and death situations in my hand. But when you're making those kind of decisions, you really should get a good night's sleep.
I suppose they made up for it in mass numbers. You know, one cop at its 20th of his full operating capacity. Well, just have 20 more
cops. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that might have worked out mathematically.
Did you see the race?
The race?
The race around Central Park with the costumes and everything?
How could I see a race around Central Park when I'm standing in Times Square?
Well, I thought you said you were wandering around the city. I thought you wandered north.
Well, we wandered at 7 o'clock into Times Square and didn't wander out of there until about 12:30. So,
okay, well, the race is supposed to start at midnight.
I did see the fireworks coming out of the cup of noodle soup thing. That was pretty scary.
We didn't want to get locked out of our pen.
We weren't expecting that.
We weren't expecting
the fireworks to come catapulting out of skyscrapers
above us.
Never
had a cup of noodles?
But I was anticipating explosions. So it was a little disconcerting.
Yeah, and we assumed they were fireworks, too. You know, we were so worked up, we didn't know what was coming out of those buildings, what was heading down towards us.
Toilet paper, confetti.
But there was no panic or undue alarm from people. Everyone seemed really calm, cool, collected, and friendly. And that's how I'd like to remember this.
It was a really good vibe there.
Definitely. It was like Woodstock. Fun. It was like the real Woodstock. You know, not like that crap they had last summer with the $8 bottle of water thing and... You know, that's why people set the whole thing on fire, because they were fed up with that.
Well, that's no excuse.
That's no excuse, but I don't blame them anyway, because, I mean, come on already. You know, they were confiscating bottles of water from people walking into the place? Confiscating bottles of water. You have to buy our $8. I mean, come on.
And what should have happened is everyone should have said, you know what, forget this.
Well, they kind of wandered all the way up there.
Refund my ticket. I'm going home. This is pointless.
Yeah, but they don't just refund your ticket because you don't like them. That's not how it works. Have you ever been to a concert? You can't just, you don't like the guy's tone when he's talking to you, or you don't like the rules.
You
can't just get your money back.
You
already bought the ticket.
Personally, fine. But if you have like 200 or 300 people all demanding their ticket prices back,
that's when you get
on the news.
That's when the riot starts.
Yeah. That's not when the riot starts. That's when you go down to Ticketmaster and say, we want our $40 back, and you get on the news and you do that kind of thing.
And in all fairness, the riots did, you know, it was at the end of the week when everybody was at the end of their rope and really kind of fed up and just wanted to have one last party.
It's no excuse. You don't go burning tractor trailers because, you know, you're leaving and you think it's a fun thing to do.
You smash the Starbucks, you don't burn the tractor trailer.
You can't really defend the violence, and I think that's kind of a shoddy justification.
If you throw a stone in the city, you're likely to hit a Starbucks. Do you know that? I saw that statistic someplace.
The $10 burritos probably played a role, and that's what they blamed a lot of it on. It's probably the last straw, but... it's probably not completely honest to blame it entirely on that. It's just a
212-209-2900 is our phone number. We're taking phone calls from people as we wake up on this New Year's Day. How was your New Year's? Was it everything you expected? Any Y2K issues with you? Any problems adjusting to the year 2000? We can never say 19 anything again. We can't say it's 19. That's going to be kind of hard. We got to say it's 2020-01 or whatever it is we're going to be saying in the future.
Yeah, I got to start crossing lines through the 19s on my checks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, mm-hmm.
The word "ought" will make a comeback.
Ought?
Ought.
O-U-G-H?
Yeah, that's
A-U-G-H-T.
I like it.
Did anybody see the New York Times today? It's
around here somewhere.
No, but my mother is, like, desperately looking for copies so she can seal them in nitrogen vacuum packs and things.
Okay, yeah, the New York Times has the most incredible headline today. It's just the date, 1/1/00.
That's not Y2K compliant.
Well, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But,
00, what? Is that 1900? Is it 2000?
Well, it's making the same damn mistake all over again.
Exactly.
Humans can interpret it, so
okay.
It's not
but
machine
the,
readable.
The point
code,
is,
okay.
The point is that it's bigger than any typeface I've ever seen in the New York Times. There's more white space there. I mean, this is an issue you really got to pick up.
It's not a bigger font. It's just white space.
Yeah, and it's something that. I don't know. People need to see, because I've never seen a copy of the New York Times like this, and it just has the date, nothing else, just
the
date.
It's a collector's item.
I guess so, but you know, the New York Times always has headlines set up in a certain way, and it is
very odd to see that much white space on the Times.
And they also, I think they had an article yesterday about what to call the new decade, aughts, noughts. Uh-ohs.
But we're still trying to figure out what we're gonna abbreviate WWW for.
Yeah.
Did we ever finally figure that one out on the show? Or?
I just like saying W.
WWW.
In fact, I like even replacing it with W. I mean, we got to get over this 3W thing at some point.
Yeah.
But that's another topic. Let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Let me turn this down. Michael Clare from the Institute for Policy Studies has a great line about domestic terrorism. He says, domestic terrorists don't operate in the United States because they can't get any attention amid all the random violence.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yes.
Except
like
for
it.
Our own homegrown insane terrorists, like the Midwesterners who have been so active in the militias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people going to high schools and, extracting justice in their own way. I don't really see any difference between, the things that happen in places like Columbine and terrorists. I mean, you have the same mindlessness behind it. So what if their cause is, to prove that the jocks suck or something like that, or whether it's, whether it's a Palestinian issue or an Irish issue or a jock issue, it's still terrorism to a degree.
Absolutely. I have a sort of a millennial computer question I wonder if I might ask you.
What's that?
I just got one of the optical mice. The Microsoft things with the red light in them.
Yeah.
And at the very end of the book, it says, any messing around with the settings on this that is outside of parameters specified in this book may result in hazardous radiation exposure.
Ooh.
What in God's name are they talking about?
Do they really
about?
Say messing around?
No, you want me to read you what it actually
says? I'd like to hear the exact phrasing of this. This could be important.
Let me see if I can find the documentation, which I always keep at the absolute top of my pile here.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
That's a good way to really get people not to touch things. Radiation.
Don't crack it open and shine it in your eye.
Right.
I think that's probably what it comes down to.
Well, no user serviceable parts inside.
Yes.
What even happened to those labels?
Use of any settings not specified in this manual may result in hazardous radiation exposure.
It's probably it probably has a laser diode inside of it, and if you
class one LED, it says.
Just an
LED?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. People call me paranoid, but that's a little over the edge.
If it were a laser diode, you could, if you had it directly shine in your eye, perhaps, if you had the power tuned up, it might be a problem. But
so they're not talking about ionizing radiation, right?
It's not ionizing radiation, no. At most, I could imagine you'd have some retinal damage from the laser.
I see. Okay.
I think it's an interesting thing to say.
I'll email you the entire text. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Do that. And if anybody wants to email us, of course, they can email us at our normal radio show's email address, which is oth@2600.com. OTH, of course, standing for Off the Hook. We usually come your way every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And today we're filling in for David Rothenberg from 9 o'clock this morning till 11, who will be back next week. And we're taking your phone calls talking about the dawning of a new age, the year 2000. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind, one thing is I think it's pretty neat that people are going from 1 to 2, like we're through all the 19 to 1200, the 1300, 1400, and that is a big thing to go to the 2.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. A lot has happened in the 1. A heck of a lot.
Sure.
Wow. I didn't think of it that way before, but yeah, I mean, that's a big change.
Then also we're going from, most people were born that are alive right now in the 1900s, so we're going out of that too, so it's like a whole new century where people were all born in the 1900s.
And nobody has ever written anything but 19 except for those few people who were around in the 1800s. And we're all making this change together, except for, of course, those people who don't use our calendar. So it's quite a step. I really got the sense of that standing in Times Square that this was a world event. It wasn't just a New York event. It wasn't just a United States event. And I really got to give credit to the people who put on the show in Times Square. They didn't play, you know, the crappy music you would expect to hear on network TV or something, ushering in something like this. You heard music from different countries, from Africa, from Asia, from South America, as the hours ticked by. And I really think that they brought all that home and mixed it up. Even when they played the United States music, it was done well.
That's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah, and people really seemed to react to it as well. There was all kinds of dancing and enthusiasm. Why don't we hear this music more often? Because it definitely evokes emotion from people. It evokes all kinds of things. It's really good. It makes you realize what a world community we all are.
Yeah, I was home listening to Moxie Fugis, which is an environmental political band, and they're just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I also wanted to say one more thing.
Yes.
And I hope I don't blank out. This is the first time I'm on the air. My New Year's resolution is call BAI if you want to, because I've never been on the air. I've been listening for years.
Great. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the airwaves.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Oh, I know. The other thing was speaking about the prevention things for the bombings, and especially in New York City, I do think it's kind of like preventative medicine. Like if you take vitamin C during the year or whatever, you take a certain amount or you don't need it. But when, like, the fall season comes around, it's really good to take extra. I found that even if I don't take C a lot of the year, if I take it in the fall, I don't get a cold when everyone else is getting sick around September, October. And it's kind of like preventative to, like, well, do those manhole covers and take those measures because it is, the ante has been upped, and that's the time when people get sick in the fall. And this is a time when, yes, something could happen. So why not take those measures? That's when the police force really does what it's supposed to do, I think. And that's why the system was put in place, so we could protect each other.
Well, I mean, do you really think the ante has been upped? Simply because we have all these people there. Obviously, having all these people means that if something happens, it's all the worse. But what has changed in the world community to make us more of a target now than, say, a year ago?
I think just the fact that it is such a big time of the year, that it is such a world event, and people who might be not thinking so well about the United States, which is the biggest power in the world as far as greed and taking money from smaller countries and exploitation and sweatshops, that it's a time that they might target here more than other times.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you phrase that, because I was thinking about this before, that maybe our reaction to this is kind of just a feeling of guilt. You know, that, hey, all these people are really mad at us, and if they're going to strike, they're going to strike now, you know?
That could be.
I mean, I don't think, you know, Canada is a country somewhat similar to us. I don't think they were nearly as worried with their celebrations, because they don't have so many people that don't like them, because they don't mess around with other lands nearly as much as we do.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
New Year.
Yeah, lovely Canadians.
And, you know, I find it easier to believe or more probable that there would be an attack being planned against Seattle mm-hmm. rather than Times Square simply because it was less expected. And
well,
it was so much focus of, oh, yeah, everyone's looking at Times Square. That's where it's going to be.
I guess the mayor of Seattle agreed with you on that because
it
canceled the celebration.
It negated the need to attack Times Square.
That's actually a big thing, and I wish I had the Giuliani quote. But Giuliani had made a comment as soon as, shortly after the mayor of Seattle canceled their plans mm-hmm. because of the threat of terrorism. And Giuliani had basically said, well, I paraphrase him, that we're not going to cancel ours because if we were to, it would just be handing it directly over to the terrorists without them having to do anything. Whoever they may be. And we would be so afraid to actually go out and have a celebration like this that they would have succeeded without even having to
I would
had
agree.
To try.
I would agree with that statement completely. I agree with it somewhat, but I would agree with it completely if there was a credible threat from a specific terrorist organization saying, we're going to do this to you on this day, then, yes, you know, we can say that we would be bowing into terrorism if we... But without a threat, how can you say that?
The threat exists without...
threat exists in our minds, yes, but does the threat exist?
Did you hear somebody claim... Or basically warn ahead of time that they were going to bomb the World Trade Center? No. But after the fact, everybody and their brother terrorist group decided to claim, responsibility for the World Trade Center bombing. Why? Because their name would get in the paper. It's a matter of attention.
Mm-hmm, but they didn't actually want to bomb the World Trade Center.
No, they
just wanted the attention.
Right.
So are there that many people out there that really want to do something horrible? I don't think there are that many people that do.
There
are some.
There aren't, but they have the ability to wreak some major havoc. Look,
but again,
I'm
the
not
point
saying
is,
that
did,
we should
was
be
there a credible with... threat made? Not was there a credible threat in our
well,
eyes. Was
hazy,
a threat made?
We're getting hazy on the definition of threat here. There is always a threat. Of something bad.
Well, does
happening.
That mean we always have to have all these police on the street?
No.
Why not? Are the people
because,
walking around Times Square today any less important than the
threat,
people yesterday?
Because the threat is so minimal. The gentleman even said, the caller previously, I agreed with him. He thought that I might not, but I agreed with him that it is very unlikely that you will be in a building in which there is a terrorist activity. But there are some places, to diverge from that a little, there are some places... And sometimes when the ante is upped, where there is definite attention that can be gotten by committing an act at this particular place or at this particular time. And that's where you have to be cautious. Don't, by no means, should you be walking around the streets with looking over your shoulder and expecting some guy to jump out of a dark corner and stab you. If you live like that, you drive yourself absolutely nuts.
But isn't that, to a degree, how we're living with this?
Well, that's not what... should be happening. You just have to be aware at specific places and specific times that there is a potential, and you have to prepare for that. If you don't, you can be caught with your pants down, and I'm pretty sure that, if something were to have happened at Times Square last night, the ramifications would be far worse than if we had just put up some cameras and now we have to demand that the cameras are taken down.
Well, it was a lot more than just cameras, but Mackie, you have a point.
Yeah, I mean... I think we could, argue like this all day.
We could.
But what it really comes down to is addressing possible ulterior motives in government. I think that's something we could probably all agree on, is that it needs to be analyzed regardless of the degree of threat. And, clearly it would present a more appealing target on New Year's than on, any regular day. I think what we really just all need to be vigilant as to what's perhaps being slipped by, how this is being used by those in power.
Well, whenever a new form of technology is introduced, it is never withdrawn. It is never withdrawn. So when you have something that is introduced to combat terrorism, within 5 years, it'll be there all the time.
Or communists.
Well,
or
that's almost guaranteed.
That's what we have to be aware of, and that's what we have to avoid and be active about stopping.
Mm-hmm.
For little incidences like this, or little occurrences like this, and in specific places, say a federal building, I agree that security measures should be taken. But so far as every day with those cameras looking down at Times Square, it's inexcusable.
See, now,
but you have to take into account the effects of fear that, that the government hype creates,
yes, you just
and,
have,
and how that can be used later to usher in other legislation.
You have to be aware
of all
that,
those things, and it all
but
plays
it's,
in together.
It's more than just the legislation. It's more than just the feeling against us. It's the whole mood of the country, which has changed over the past couple of decades. You have now barriers every place, outside the White House, outside every federal building. Downtown, outside the federal building, there's permanently a big sand truck parked there to prevent truck bombs from coming through. Do we really want to be this kind of society where
that's
we have
much.
To constantly barricade our government from its people?
No, that's
not allowed
the way
to take pictures.
Not allowed to take pictures. Remember the hassle we went through with the Mythic demonstrations?
I was one of the people hassled.
We can't take pictures of the federal building in our own city.
And I argued with the security officer, saying, why can't I take a picture?
But
we have photons coming from the sun, and they're bouncing off the ground,
and,
and they're entering my camera.
You can
know.
Sit in any building and take a picture anyway, but that's beside the point. The thing is, we're developing this mentality that certain things just have to be shielded, and I think that price is too high.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a risk. There's a risk some maniac is going to drive a sanitation truck filled with fertilizer and blow up a building, yeah. But aren't we giving the terrorist or whoever it is exactly what they want when we completely barricade buildings permanently?
You're correct. We as a people have to be very aware of the fact that the government is going to try and get away with things like this and use it as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is perhaps a grain of real preventative measures to be taken in specific instances, we can't let them get away with that and implement it as a full policy measure everywhere.
The thing is, you may ask, well, how does putting a barricade up in front of a building or a sand truck in front of a building, how is that something against the people? And while it's not something that directly affects our privacy or our freedom in any way, it is something that affects the way we look at things. It affects the way we look at our government as not something where you can actually interact, but something that is walled up and kept away from us, something we are not allowed to touch or to approach. And that kind of seed gets planted in your mind, and that is how your government is viewed by you over the years. And then when new people come along who haven't seen it the way it used to be, they just accept it. And I see this kind of thing all the time. I see it on college campuses, places where people used to demonstrate all the time for various causes, where there used to be all kinds of, action, some kind of mischief. And now things are very controlled. You can't do certain things. It's kind of like high school now. A lot of college campuses
Absolutely.
I've noticed have changed. Fraternities are everywhere where they didn't used to be. I mean, this is my own little personal rant here, but I just noticed that there's a lot more control of students on college campuses than there was, say, 10 years ago even. And the thing is, when you go into a place like that, you don't know what it's like because you've never been there before. The only people who know what it used to be like were the people who aren't there anymore. So it's very easy to change things subtly, and then one day it's completely different than it was a few years ago. And that's what we have to watch out for.
I wholly agree.
All right.
So let's talk
so
about
one of those rare moments. One of those rare moments we both agree. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yes. This is a milestone. Those of you in the Off the Hook archives, take note.
Yeah.
But why don't we talk about
I bring people together.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
All right.
Why don't we talk about some computers crashing or,
I don't think we can
things.
Talk about computers crashing. I don't think any computers crash. But if someone has a computer out there that crashed, please call us up. We'd like to hear about it.
You just wait till Monday.
Why do I have to wait till Monday? They're crashing now, aren't they? Or people haven't turned them on yet? Is that what you're saying?
No, people are going to go into work and they're going to find something.
Cash registers,
properly.
Perhaps.
I still don't know what happened to my computer, so I'll have to check that when I get back.
Well, give me an email if you can.
I will. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. I'm sorry, I did it again. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Speak up, please.
I tell you, I disagree completely with both of you.
Wow, how can you disagree with both of us since we're disagreeing with each other?
I'm in the clear.
Okay, I disagree with one of you more than with the other.
Okay, all right.
I tell you, terrorism, you see the police and the army and everybody these days, instead of doing maneuvers, they invent many, many things so that they can practice and be equipped like the people in Seattle, who look like from Mars. And then, can you imagine if all the festivities of last night, that money would have been channeled to sick people and Africa and the Middle East or whatever. We are living in such plenty and doing such crazy things. And terrorists are here to stay. They are going to strike. You can't be now more secure because nothing happened last night on Times Square. Mm-hmm. It's here to stay. If you attack terrorists and the terrorists have no fear of dying because they live in the life after and all that. So we are in for 100 years of warfare. And it's going to be guerrilla warfare, which you can't control. People are always in places where they shouldn't be. You can have all the credentials in the world, and suddenly you see people who shouldn't be there. And so, to be sure that last night was wonderful, so we are now safe.
Mm-hmm.
We are not safe.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Things have not changed as a result of that. Correct.
And we can't get this false security of thinking and this money being channeled into cameras in post offices and so. And, you know, everybody is making a buck mm-hmm. by frightening people into technology, which then, at a certain point, will not work. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
And you know, it didn't even really occur to me last night as we were bestowed by the city with those wonderful gifts of sparkling Mylar wings and pom-poms.
Well, that was the Times Square development.
Discover Card, I believe, sponsored some of that. But the balloons, I believe, were...
That was the Times Square Development Corporation or something like that?
It was put on by the official event of whatever,
right.
whoever was sponsoring that. And yeah, the amount of money that was being poured into that, I thought, gee, isn't that nice if they're just giving this away, but... That it could have been spent on worthy.
We wind up paying for it one way or another. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you can certainly say that things could be spent on better causes. But I think you need to look more at the daily operations. You know, the incredible wealth being generated in the stock market for certain people, and the incredible poverty which continues to exist for most of the world. That's the inequity. It's not just one party. It's not you know, things like missions to Mars or events like that. It's basically an inequity that exists. On a constant basis. That's what needs to be looked at. Let's take some more phone calls. Good morning. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Let me turn down my radio, and I have a good comment to make here. All you folks that have stocked up on flashlights and batteries and toilet paper and water and Dinty Moore stew, take it all back, get your money back.
A lot of that stuff is not refundable. Did you notice that?
That's true.
Well, bring it back.
That had to tell you something.
But you won't run out for a long time now.
Well, that's the kind of preventative measures that I was supporting for individuals for Y2K would basically consist of take those empty soda bottles and fill them with water. Don't go out and buy 5-gallon jugs of water or go out and buy, you know, these super-duper water storage things with the super-duper tablets and buy the stupid camp stove and all this other stuff. You don't need to go out and buy that stuff. You already have most of what you have, like, on hand. And if you buy any extra food, buy food that you're already eating so that, you know, a month down the line, maybe you're having the pasta you were planning on having over the chair fire that you were going to set when the power went out potentially on Y2K.
And in California, we always have earthquake supplies, or those of us who are prepared. So I know in my backyard we have a whole bunch of water.
The other fellow that called in with the LED, wondering why the radiation and all that?
Yeah.
If you take a diode and you excite it hard enough, it'll double the frequency. Maybe that's what they were talking about.
Hmm.
You know, when you say frequency doubling diode.
Yeah,
it'll carry through even to an LED, possibly. I don't know.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right. Bye now.
Take care. And if there's anybody out there listening to us in a bunker that has not yet emerged, and you ran into, you know, people have done this. They've gone into bunkers, but they brought phone lines down with them. In fact, I was talking to somebody on IRC once on the computer who was hiding out from a tornado, and that was pretty interesting.
And the best thing they could do was sit on IRC.
If you're in a bunker right now, please give us a call. You know, we'll reassure you it's safe to come out now. At least we think it's safe to come out. If you believe any day is safe, January 1st seems to be pretty safe.
Well, Y2K isn't over yet.
When is it going to be over, Isaac?
It's not going to be over for a while.
When?
A year.
I want a date. I want to know when it's over.
I can't give you a date because I don't know when these failures are going to be. But I'm going to say
you still think there are going to be failures.
I'm Well, let's put this in
perspective
here.
We've gone through the whole year of 1999 without anything. Now it's 2000.
Let's put this in perspective here. You know, I've been saying that you're going to have some minor inconveniences and you're going to have some systems fail. Originally, I was talking about critical systems such as power and things like that where there was a definite potential at the time. But since we have been investing so much time and money and energy into correcting these kinds of things, we still have power, we still have gas, we still have all the fundamentals that people were trying to get those big kerosene stoves for. But I would imagine that on Monday you're going to go to work and you're going to see, like, maybe your little notepad program not work properly or some silly thing like that, which is going to give you a hassle.
Actually, you know, this is interesting because I got a notice in the mail a couple of days. Well, actually, I got it a couple of months ago, but I only found it a couple of days ago because, well, I've been busy. And there was a notice from a software company. The software company, in fact, that sold us our voicemail system at 2600.
Yeah.
I hate that system. I really do. I think the software is terrible. I've never liked it. Touchtone response is awful. But, you know, we just don't have time to develop a better system. If anybody out there has a cool system they'd like to develop, we're all for it. You know, a nice voicemail system that's interactive. You can leave messages, have public bulletin boards, things like that. Great. But we got a message or a piece of mail from them saying, warning, your voicemail system is not Y2K compliant.
Have we tried?
Well, that's just it. I just remembered now that I never responded.
So let's do that.
So let's call them. But the thing is, why
don't we try calling our voicemail system first?
All right, let's call that before other people call it. Okay, I might have to enter a special code here if I do. Okay, bring down the volume there so the code doesn't go out over the air. Here we go.
Magic number.
It's going to ring three times. Now, they wanted money for a Y2K upgrade, and I just did not want to spend money for something that was lousy as it is to make it what it should be. But it might not work at all anymore.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
It's supposed to do this.
If you need help, stay on the line, and a hacker will assist you shortly.
Hey, what was that?
Wait a minute.
Welcome to the 2600 Voice BBS.
Okay, it seems to
enter the BBS section, press 1. To enter the 2600 voicemail system, press 2. For voice files, press 3. For special phone services, press 4.
Okay, well, it seems to work.
It works.
It's there. So, you see, this is what I mean. I was almost suckered into spending money to fix something that I didn't have to fix. They said this is not Y2K compliant. It seems to work to me. And the irony is...
Well, you didn't exactly extensively test the thing answered the phone.
But here's the real irony of it. It doesn't take dates anywhere. There's no date function. So where is there going to be a problem?
Don't look at me.
All right, well,
I don't
if
know.
Anyone finds where the problem is, I'd sure like to know about it.
My basic point is we're not out of the woods yet. We got Monday morning, which you're probably going to hear some reports from. You've got February 29th, which has been mentioned as a potential problem.
I don't understand. Why is it a potential problem? People are saying that this is an unscheduled leap year or something like that. This is a leap year just like any other leap year. People are saying that it's supposed to happen every 4 years, and it's happening every 4 years. 2000, the last one was 1996, 1992 before then.
Was there one in 1900?
I don't know. Probably. If it's divisible by 4, yeah, I guess it was, 1900.
Okay. Well, I guess we're not going to have any problems.
Well, I don't think so.
But basically, I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
All right.
I'm not saying
you
power is...
Are you saying this for the rest of your life, or is there going to be a point where you say, okay, we're out of the woods?
In 2048, on my deathbed, I'm going to be saying... Y2K is still gonna keel over, and you can put that on my gravestone. Actually,
we'll consider it.
Thanks.
Let's take some more phone calls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
2600, is this?
Yes. Well, we are affiliated.
My clock is off.
Yeah.
Year 2000. Okay, Emmanuel.
Yes.
I have to disagree with you a little bit.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I would like you to do is have some of the hackers crack into the big companies and find out their email about what kind of problems they ran into when they were remediating their systems. And then you'll know if there was a problem or not.
You think it's just that easy? We can just target a system and go
I'm
break
kidding,
in
of
and check it out. Okay. People do believe that, though. I get that all the time. People say, hey, can you just hack into a bank and get me like $10 or something? Like it's not like that.
Yeah, I need help with my credit report.
I think you're going to find out a true story of Y2K about a year from now when people will come clean about what they found when they started spending all that $600 billion okay? And they didn't sue anybody, any of these hypers, all right? Mm-hmm. It was a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Still is a problem. Now, how big or how little, nobody can tell you, all right? There will be problems, okay?
You're on the money.
Okay? But you want to find out if it was a real problem? What happened to the $600 billion, and how come there are no suits against the people that were hyping it and got that money? Big business does not spend money foolishly. And they sue if you run them down a wrong track. That they're going to spend that money to make a lot of billions of dollars on the stock market. So I think just because nothing has happened, that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It means you don't know about it because of lawsuits and everything else. So be careful about, hey, it's over. Be alert. Don't get excited. Don't, you know, drink the water slowly. But there will be problems. There will be systems going out, accounting systems, okay, on the small computers, people who have Windows 3.1 or other systems, there will be, and accounting packages which don't take 00. Okay? Everything has not been remediated.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to the chaos. I always look forward to chaos.
There's not going
to
be chaos. But
well, I'm very disappointed then because I was expecting some kind of chaos. Every time there's supposed to be chaos, we're supposed to get a snowstorm or a hurricane. It never happens. We never get the chaos. I want something.
Talk to the people in Washington Heights about the blackout.
Yeah.
Right?
And tell
how many
West
people got hurt, how many people got, you know, how much money was lost. Okay?
But that wasn't Y2K related.
Well, everybody's saying it's not Y2K related.
But here's what I'm trying
to tell
you.
Three reactors scram, and none of them were Y2K related. Of course, they were like a few minutes after midnight, but not Y2K related.
For all you know, things like that could happen every day. They're just not reported.
That's true. They
so
do happen.
The question you should be asking is asking the people who spent the money, why did they spend it, and what did they find when they spent the money? And they say, oh, we found nothing. Then we all laugh and say, ah, see, I told you. But I can't believe people spent $600 billion around the world. And it was no problem.
Well, I almost spent a few hundred bucks to fix a system I didn't have to fix. So I don't know. Maybe that's a microcosm. Maybe
well,
not.
On that note, your files, voice files, are they date signed, a time signed?
I don't think so. I don't think the system has that capability. So
well, try it out.
That's the funny thing, you know, that I don't believe we have date time function. And
well, put messages in and try to retrieve them tomorrow or the day after.
Okay. No, we'll experiment with it. But, you know, I really do hate the system anyway, so hopefully we'll just get a new one.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Oh, as far as the terrorism, I was more scared of the 8 helicopters in the air than terrorism.
I was thinking those helicopters were going to plummet or crash into each other.
That
would have been something.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Be good.
I mean, that kind of thing really kind of scares me sometimes, seeing these hovering helicopters over a crowd of a million people. You know, you got
what color were they?
They were black.
Oh.
Some were white.
They had white underbellies,
yeah.
But they seemed awfully black.
I believe
black
they were checking the rooftops.
They were shining lights down, and I don't think it was just to take a picture. I think it was looking for various
yeah,
things.
Yeah, onto the roofs.
Yeah. All right, 212-209-2900. We're here until 11 o'clock, which is about 19 minutes away. At that time, we're cutting to the Rose Bowl for a live broadcast featuring one of my favorite groups of people, the Firesign Theater. So if you're into that... stay tuned, because that will be coming up in just about 19 minutes. We're here until 11 o'clock, filling in for David Rothenberg this Saturday morning. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, along with Isaac, Walter, and Mackie. We're usually on Tuesday nights at 8, doing a program called Off the Hook. Check it out if you're up at that hour, and if you like technology, computer hacking, privacy issues, things like that. You can email us, oth@2600.com. Let's take another phone call, 212-209-2900. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah. On that unscheduled leap year, isn't that because it's supposed to be like every 400 years we do away with? You don't add February 29th or something.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
The rules are complicated, but you have leap years every 4 years, except years divisible by 100, except years divisible by 400. So that's why this year is a leap year.
Well, wait a minute. Except years divisible by 4, 2000 is divisible by 400.
Right. So
shouldn't there not be a leap year?
That's the second except, though.
What's the exception?
It's a fractal
so
kind
it is.
Of thing.
It is a leap year. There, the exception to the non-leap year rule is every 400 year is every year divisible by 400. So.
Because okay. I was looking at I heard about it a while ago, and I had some calendars to plan and. I was checking some calendars that I saw, and everyone had a leap year.
Right.
And I was trying to, you know, make sure I wasn't going to get into a bind.
Yeah, I think we all know when the leap year is this year. I'm pretty sure. I'm confused, though, because other people have been telling me that there's all kinds of chaos on the way, so I don't know.
Okay, thank
you. We'll let you know if we learn something. Now, Walter, just explain it to me one more time, because yeah. I got really lost just now. You're saying...
Well, the exception to the leap year is years divisible by 100.
What do you mean the exception to leap year? This is when...
There are years which are not leap years. And
years which are supposed to be leap years that aren't.
Years are not leap years. There are years divisible by 100.
Okay.
But the exception to that rule, if it's...
So you're saying 1900 was not a leap year?
1900 is not divisible by 400, so it's not a leap year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we got to check the calendar program and see if 1900 did not have a leap
year. We found the source of our problem.
All right. Well, you see, I think that's what would confuse people. The fact that we have a leap year here, that's not going to confuse anybody. So, okay. I'm less confused now.
Yeah, it has to be adjusted to the precise length of the year, which is, you know, you need to make minor adjustments every many hundreds of years.
Okay. 212-209-2900. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Welcome.
Hi,
welcome to the 21st century.
Well, okay. You
it's
can
not.
Say that. You can say that if you want, but I'm not
going to argue about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to join you on that until next year. But fine. Welcome to 2000.
Thank you. It is wonderful to see that basically things are still around and functioning. I live out here in the suburbs, and we were out last night at midnight banging a gong and screaming over a bullhorn while fireworks were going off. And seeing that the electricity was still running made me feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt very artificial and... mechanistic and mechanical, the countdown, you know, from, you know, time, minutes, you know, hours and days, and it just seems so detached from the natural order and the natural world, and I just feel relief because I had heard, you know, a lot of forecasting about satellites spinning out of orbit and nuclear meltdown and just a complete utter chaos and looting and riots and, you know, blackness and just, you know, people, you know, going to be subsisting in bunkers and with food supplies stashed away. And, you know, it was going to be like, you know, all of recorded time erased. And, you know, I didn't think it would be pretty much, you know, as smooth as it seems to have been. I mean, I still have heat in my house, and I still have electric, and, you know, it's just really, a friend of mine who was really into computers had said, it's just a big money-making scam, this Y2K, and it's not going to amount to anything. And I heard another guy who said, you know, it's going to be the end of the world. So I sort of felt it might fall somewhere in between, but it seems to have really fallen much more along the lines of no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm very relieved. I'm happy to see BAI is still on the air and functioning beautifully.
Yeah, and if we could make it through, I think anybody can make it through because, I don't know what kind of things are Y2K related here, but, yeah, I agree with you. I think it was overblown. And, you know, if it wasn't overblown, then you got to figure somebody out there didn't do their job because not everybody's going to do the same quality of work, and we're going to see some major colossal failures real soon if we haven't already.
Right.
And Isaac, you're banging your watch. Is there something wrong with your watch?
It stopped.
Okay, well, there's the first one right there. Okay, well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You know, I also think the flip side to this is that we're going to see, hey, we survived this. I mean, yeah, you know, there's the manipulation of the crowds, too. But also there can be a positive aspect to this where we all see just how we came through it. The Russian commanders shaking hands with the American commanders. Hey, we're going to make it through this okay. All the crowds, no problems at all. Everything is cool. You know, maybe the Y2K thing wasn't so bad. We made it through that. Maybe there'll be optimism for the future. Maybe we'll realize that the human race actually has some really positive attributes, and, you know, it's not quite as miserable and hopeless as we're led to believe.
Started again.
You started your watch. You had to hit it real hard in the sign, huh?
It worked.
Here are some companies. This is from today's New York Times in the business section. This is the biggest Saturday New York Times I think I've ever seen. It's almost as big as the Sunday Times. Some companies have renamed their names based on the year. Yeah, if you remember, there was a company called Gateway 2000, well, they're now known as Gateway. 20th Century Insurance Company is now known as 21st Century Insurance Group. 20th Century Investors is now known as American Century, and 20th Century Fund is now known as the Century Foundation.
What about 20th Century Fox?
Well, that's a very good question, because that's here as one of the companies who did not rename their names.
Really?
Still 20th Century Fox, and also Century 21 is also remaining Century 21.
Well, no, they don't have to worry.
I think 20th Century Fox is also 30th Century Fox for Futurama.
Yes, it is,
yes.
Which is kind of cool.
I don't know if they actually registered as that.
I'm very glad to hear that about Gateway changing their name.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the many things that had used the word 2000 as part of their name without any real bearing or relation to what they were. Lots of particularly technology products and electronics equipment that's, the Cybertron 2000, which...
Did it have anything to do with
bizarre.
The year?
No, nothing. Just and not even anything to do with the model number. Just, we liked the number. It was neat and sounded... scientific.
Numerics.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. Wandering around Times Square, though, with the year now 2000, people seeing a 2600 hat, they think that's a year now.
That's
kind of
cool. They said, you're pretty early.
Yeah, 600 years early. It's like,
I, for one, hope that I live to see 2600.
Well, the new issue will be out in a couple of weeks, if that's what you mean. And
I thought
if
you
it's not what you mean, I don't want to hear.
Oh, okay. Well,
I thought you were checking out 2048. Isn't that what we established?
All right. Let's
the deep freeze.
All right, okay.
Check in on a couple
we'll
more
call
callers.
You out.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to confirm that every century year, which they're called when they develop the change the calendar, every century year that's divisible by 400 is a leap year, and 1900 was not a leap year.
Okay.
And I think some of the calendars, most of the calendars out there that put a leap year, they probably put the leap year, but they did it, but they did the right thing, but for the wrong reason, simply because 4 years ago, this should have been a leap year.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Okay.
All right.
I like that, actually, the three-layered rules. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. I can't imagine coming up with all these rules and regulations for calendars.
There are also leap seconds every once in a while.
Yeah, at the end of every year.
But the new atomic clock.
Those are creepy.
Will disallow that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you won't. It won't be necessary anymore. We're now accurate to, what is it, like 10 to the 17th seconds? Not
really?
Seconds, but, well,
decimal. That's important.
Okay, well, fine.
I wasn't being sarcastic.
www.nist.gov.
I wasn't being sarcastic. I was being tired because, as I mentioned, I've been up for 2 days now, and talking about extra seconds, I guess, just isn't filling me with all kinds of
excitement. Hey, I could have used a few extra seconds of sleep.
Yeah, we all can. Okay, let's take some more calls from our listeners who are waking up now to a brand new year. Not a brand new decade, not a brand new century.
Well, it is a new decade.
Well, now, how could it be a new decade? If it's not a new century and if it's not a new millennium.
Because we ended a decade.
Yeah, but
it's no longer the 90s, right?
Is it in it? Well, wait a second.
But didn't a decade begin with the year 1, 2? You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 was the first decade. Second decade began with the year 11. You know, same business as century and millennium.
But then which decade would we be part of now?
Well, I don't know, but it's a new decade. Maybe. You know, we stopped numbering them after about 50 or so because we got tired of it.
I'm going to have to investigate that.
Yeah, well, regardless, it's a new year. I think we can agree on that. It's the year 2000. We all are unanimously agreeing on
which
that.
Which is a big round number, and that's
it's a really
nice.
Cool-looking number.
Yeah.
Probably the coolest one we'll ever see.
See
it's
again,
the
it's
first
round.
Time in the history of mankind, our calendar anyway, that all four digits have changed. And for those of you who think that it's the second time, no. The first time... 999 changes to 1,000. There was no zero in front of 999. At least I don't think there was. So it's three digits changing to four digits. But never before have all four digits changed at once. And that was cool. All right.
Well, a lot of things have happened for the first time, and they happen every day.
Oh, we lost a caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to go back to the terrorism issue.
Go right ahead.
We're going to be suffering with it a long time after Y2K. And my point is that Giuliani is not any kind of leader. He's not even a politician, because even politicians have a particular skill set, which Giuliani doesn't have. But the thing that concerns me is that being a total incompetent the way he is, he manufactures problems that he can solve.
Hmm.
And that's what I see. That's what I saw as the Cold War. You know, and he's just we're just continuing the Cold War. Manufacturing, you know, like the Cold War was that the Soviet Union was going to attack us when they knew that the Soviet Union was always essentially on a defensive footing rather than an aggressive footing. And what Giuliani is saying is these terrorists are coming here when 2 years ago he refused to see Arafat, even though Arafat was a recognized leader of a country by the UN. In other words, Giuliani is picking fights
so that
he can then turn around and say, oh, I have to protect you people.
In this case, I would have to say it goes beyond Giuliani because I think this is something
I agree as far as the country goes. But, Giuliani is more someone that affects us very directly. And, I agree with you that it goes with the country because essentially the country is run by businesses and banks and not by even Giuliani or that other guy.
And, of course, the...
Bill.
Bill,
The racism and discrimination that it fuels against people of Middle Eastern descent or people who...
There's also a good reason to say, oh, we have to protect you, strip search you. We'll strip search you every time you want to walk into a library.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll start, if libraries go online, maybe we'll figure out that... We'll keep a profile of all the books that you take out of the library now. But, it's just it's mind-boggling that our leaders are picking these fights with people.
One thing I heard reported in various newspapers was that every single car within a 75-block radius inside every parking garage was being sniffed by dogs. Now, my question was, what happens if those dogs find drugs in those cars?
I think they were just
legally
bomb sniffing.
Bomb-sniffing dogs don't sniff for drugs.
Yeah, the dogs are very specific.
Yes.
Yeah, the dogs are specific, and you have to get, a drug-sniffing dog if you want to...
Well, how would you know if they didn't get a drug-sniffing dog with a bomb-sniffing dog? Or what if the bomb-sniffing dog said, hey, I think there's a bomb here, and then the drug-sniffing dog came along and found the drugs instead? Would they admit them in court? There's all kinds of issues that get opened up here when you start doing these massive surveillance things. Anyway, sir, thanks for the call. We are really out of time. These 2 hours really flew by.
Yeah. I'm still not awake yet. Remind me never to do a morning show.
Actually, I'm surprisingly awake, considering how long I've been awake. But,
you made us chug that coffee.
I think getting into a nice, rousing discussion of issues of terrorism and the city and things like that.
Well, at some point, my brain will be coming into the studio, and I'll look back at this and wonder what the hell I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for calling in and for being part of the show and just being part of 2000. It's really cool to enjoy this all together. My name is Emmanuel. I'm here with Isaac and Walter and Mackie and... most of us will be back on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for Off the Hook. David Rothenberg will be back again next week from 9 to 11, doing his normal show, I presume. Stay tuned for a live presentation of the Firesign Theater coming to you live from the Rose Bowl. Until next Tuesday, have yourselves a very happy New Year. Stay safe. Stay awake. Good night. Oh, no. Good morning.
Finished my beautiful flying machine, and I'm ringing to say that I'm leaving, and maybe you'd like to fly with me and hide with me, baby. Isn't it strange how little we change? Isn't it sad we're insane? Playing the games that we know end in tears, the games we've been playing for thousands and thousands and thousands.
as the old year rings.